Good morning, Barbados, and welcome to Brastack Sunday for January 26. I'm Sanka Price, your host for today's program, which concludes at 1:15. Our producer today is Mr. Dennis Johnson, and his will be the first voice you'll hear when you call us at 43-41790. Of course, you can also share your views with us on WhatsApp at 266-4862. Today, we'll be putting the Thorn Commission on local governance under the microscope. We need to find out what the Thorn Commission is really all about, and in fact, what governance is all about, so we have to even get into these definitions to find out precisely what they're talking about. And one of the things that we have to answer is this another talk shop, because often over the years, we've had a number of commissions, and they've made a number of recommendations, and the files are still catching dust. So is this going to be the same thing with the Thorn Commission? In the studio, we have Mr. Ralph Thorn, the chairman of the commission. Mr. Ralph Thorn, QCMP. We also have members Barney Gibbs, Crystal Howell, and Adrian Donovan. But before we get started, just need to remind you that this program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries, Inc. Big or small,
at Williams Metals, we have it all. Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material. For building supplies, big or small, at Williams
Metals, we have it. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brastack Sunday. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And today we're going to examine the Thorn Commission on Local Governance. And we're going to start with Mr. Ralph Thorn, QCMP. Mr. Thorn, what exactly is this Thorn Commission on local governance? What is it all about?
Good morning, Sanka. Good morning to the public of Barbados and, of course, to my colleagues here. The Thorn Commission is a commission established by the government of Barbados to make proposals for the implementation of a system of local government for Barbados, and that is it, broadly speaking. You asked a question earlier, is it another talk shop? I'll give a very simple answer to that. We've been doing a lot of talking. We've been doing a lot of talking since we were appointed last year. I think early in 2019 we started our meetings, in-house meetings, and we've done a lot of talking. We've done a lot in terms of making a proposal for a system of local government. We were launched formally in July last year, and since July last year we've continued to do a lot of talking. We've been talking because we are not sending a proposal into government unless we consult the people of Barbados, because for this to have any credibility and for this to be a successful venture, we think that the people of Barbados need to be involved. We think that the people of Barbados need to say what are their own proposals. So yes, we have been doing a lot of talking. We've thus far held 4 town hall meetings across Barbados. We propose to hold a lot more town hall meetings across Barbados.
All right, but what precisely is the aim? You said to develop people's assemblies. What? Let's break it down.
The aim is to propose to government, mm-hmm. to propose to government a system of local government in Barbados, a system to establish local government in Barbados. Right now, we do not have a system of local government. Government, as you know, political government, that is, comprises the cabinet and the parliament. There is no subsidiary or subordinate system that governs activities in Barbados. So the proposal is to establish a system, as it says, of local government, government at the local level, government within communities, that will requisition the central government as to the delivery of services into the communities. Presently, as you know, Sanka, the delivery of public services and amenities into the local communities, that is administered by ministerial government, by central government. And I think everyone knows that people in the communities, people in the villages and terraces of Barbados don't really have an input into how those services are delivered. So that we want to propose the establishment of a formal structure to administer government at the local level.
But the question that springs to my mind is, if you do this, mm-hmm. would this not take away something from the parliamentarians?
So yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And that is not something that parliamentarians should feel insecure about. You're talking about deepening democracy. You don't speak of democracy unless you speak of people's participation. And this system offers to people the opportunity to participate in the decisions that affect them on a daily basis. And we can think of all kinds of things, bus services. The most topical, of course, would be garbage collection services. There's the question of the bus service. There are a whole lot of issues. There are a whole lot of amenities and services that are delivered into local communities. And I don't think a parliamentarian need feel insecure or need feel that his authority is being undermined by people's participation. In fact, he should feel, he should welcome the implementation of a system which offers parliament and which offers a minister assistance in terms of the delivery of those services into the community. So it's nothing to feel insecure about. And look, the time has come when people in Barbados need to have a say in these matters. That in fact, I would go beyond saying the time has come. The time has long passed when people should have the right to have a say in matters of the delivery of services into local communities and matters of local government.
What sort of structure is there in mind? I mean, and any of your other members can answer
Krista
as well.
Can
what sort of structure at present are we looking at here? Because I'm hearing about 30 persons on these people's assemblies, on each people's assembly. So could you just give an idea of if there be by the constituency or if they'd be by the parish, how many people would be you're proposing? Would these people be elected? In other words, would you have an election just for local government officials? Would you have a mayor? what would these people be called? Constituency representative? What?
Well, Barney and I will share a description as to the proposed structure, because we've been having a lot of discussion, especially in the St. James Town Hall, as to how the structure should be. And to remind listeners that everything we're discussing is still a proposal. We would have come up with the initial proposal, but the purpose of the town halls and these discussions, even today, is to get persons' feedback as to how they think it should be structured, given what we've presented. So, Barney.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal. You know, the assemblies are really contemplated to be community-based, democratic, participatory governance structures, right? Based on voluntary, non-partisan, to answer your question, independent of government ministers. In terms of the actual structure, we're talking about having one assembly in St. Lucie, St. Andrew, St. Joseph, St. John, and St. Thomas, two assemblies in each of St. George, St. Peter, St. Philip, and St. James, three assemblies in Christchurch, and four in St. Michael. There will be a total of 20 people's assemblies in all. Membership can consist of an equal number of elected ex officio members, so we're talking members from the Transport Board, Welfare Department, etc. Parish residents, and this is very important, youth from secondary and tertiary educational institutions. In terms of the selection, the election process that you asked about, elections we're imagining can be organized by the Electoral and Boundaries Commission, where the persons putting themselves forward can publish a CV. Okay, the candidates would address residents at a town hall meeting. Electioneering would either be not encouraged but not permitted. And the assemblies would last for a period of 3 years. Getting back to the aspect of youth involvement, we're imagining that the senior student body of each secondary school would elect one male and one female student each to serve. UE, the student body, could elect perhaps 10 students, and BCC and SJPP would elect 5 each. So a total of 10 students on each assembly.
But, okay, do you envision that these persons who are serving will be paid, or will they be doing voluntary service?
That's another one of the things we've been discussing. The initial proposal is that it will be on a volunteer basis, and this has come with a lot of mixed reactions, with persons believing they should be paid. Some persons believe they should be reimbursed for any expenses that they've incurred that's related and pre-approved in alignment with the assemblies, and some believe that should be completely voluntary. Everything is up for discussion, and many seem to be leaning to at least having reimbursed expenses because of the nature of what may be involved, the time that has to be taken, the money that persons may have to spend in relation to it. You don't want persons to feel as though they're volunteering but having to give up so much of their own funds to be able to volunteer. But nothing is set in stone, and we have already received a great deal of proposals, written and oral presentations, that have given us a lot of food for thought, and we want to make sure that whatever final structure we come up with, it is something that works for the people, as opposed to it being something that we come up with and put on persons and then it doesn't work, because we don't want this to be stalled before it even comes out the gates, because people don't feel as though they're being engaged or had their feedback taken seriously.
How would you respond to a charge that would be made that here you have the largest number of ministers ever in a government? I know you're thinking about terms of making an even bigger bureaucracy, you're getting bigger government. It's a charge that I'm sure you'll hear. So I don't know who wants to respond to that one.
They look at me.
You're the chairman.
Yes. First of all, you're talking, a member of the cabinet is not always a parliamentary representative for a district. So there are two different kinds of administration. And I'll make the point clearly that they are ministers who serve in the Senate. They don't represent a constituency. So that I wouldn't want to make that comparison. And the other more fundamental point is that local government is about service at the community level. It's a completely different tier of government. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to say to you that whereas parliamentary service or parliamentary government is based on constituencies, we propose that they should be based on parishes. And there's a good reason for that. The history of public administration in Barbados is one which is parish-based. And I've always made the point that every parish, for example, had a postal service, a post office. Every parish, for example, had a police station. That's about local service. And we want to mirror that in this proposal. When you say constituency, there are partisan political connotations, and we wish to avoid that with good reason, because we think that pure community or local service must be non-partisan. That when a chap comes to serve at the community level, he shouldn't have to say that he's a B or D or any other party. So that since there's a history of public administration based on parishes, we want to take advantage of that. And you did not ask the question, but we want to make the fundamental point that service on what we propose must be non-partisan. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
But Mr. Gibbs alluded to that. And mm-hmm. you know, the thing is, our Constitution does not even recognize parties, as you would know.
It does not.
Okay? But I cannot see, and this is the total reality of it all, mm-hmm. that we can have any type of constituency councils or whatever you choose to call them.
People's assemblies. Yes.
Where the different political parties don't try to have an input on which candidates come forward.
Well, we are not so naive as to believe that political parties will not try to exploit it. We expect that. I mean, we are all mature people. But what we are proposing is an ideal. and there's nothing wrong with proposing an ideal. A constitutional document is itself an ideal, and people must have a standard in which to operate. And we believe that the standard and the ideal is that community service must be pure. Look, it is no sense two people living next door to each other, sitting on an assembly, having this partisan political divide between them. It is no sense for a community to go to a local town hall or local meeting of an assembly and have a partisan divide when there's the common interest of the community, of the community's interest. That's the common interest, and there should not be partisan political interests at play in a
So what you're in a sense saying is that you're trying to bring back, but you're trying to focus on Barbados.
Precisely.
Barbados first.
Precisely.
Okay. Let's go to the WhatsApp and then we come to the phone lines. This one says, with all due respect, another non-legislative arm of government would just be adding to the bureaucracy that exists within the system and cost more to taxpayers. Furthermore, there are already established institutions that are there to solve the same problems the people's assemblies are trying to solve. The island is too small for this level of bureaucracy. Response?
I would answer that well, Sanka. I was put in that similar situation 2 years ago, dealing with some core service project. And the person who sent me WhatsApp had indicated that we have other areas and other channels and ministries that we could divert our questions or energies to. It's all good on paper. But then we had an issue. We surveyed on the street. We wrote letters to different ministries, got no response. Different ministers got no response. And we decided to come together as a group, as a community group. And the community group, Sangha, included people from all our walks of life, the old, the nonpartisan, the politically affiliated, the young. But they came together as a community with one concern, get the surveys off of the street that was affecting us. So the WhatsApp is right from that point of view. But we got no response. So we are saying, no, when these people's assembly have been established, there'll be a location that we could go to. I could go to and ask them for a letter on behalf of my community, not David, John, or Paul doing their own individual work, as a group. And hopefully we'll get some action. As it is now, if you read today's front paper, the issue that's close to my heart in Dover. We have some residents now who are acting on their own behalf. Some people who are representing the hotel sector acting on their own behalf. The residents, individually, some for, some against. So there's a wide divide. The People's Assembly are saying that we have to come together as one from the community. One spokes group, put it that way, and hopefully your concerns will be addressed through the People's Assembly. But as it is now, everybody is going to each separate way. Different answers, confusion.
The concern raised by the message, Sanko, we've heard that concern before as to the financial cost of establishing a system of local government, the financial cost of democracy. But the price of not giving people a voice is far higher than a financial cost, and it is more important for the people to have a say in matters that affect them.
All right, just let me give you one more WhatsApp because we have a number of calls. What are the estimated timelines of deliverables leading from the current discussions up to actual implementation?
We hope to make a presentation to government this year. But it is as important as making that presentation to government that we make consultation with the people of Barbados, because We've had systems implemented before in this country, and nobody has asked the public. And we are giving full voice to the public. So that when we go back to government, we want to be able to say to the government, this is how the people of Barbados feel on this issue. These are the proposals springing from our deliberations with the people of Barbados. So, Sanka, I would like to say to you, I can't say to you a precise date, but we would like to go back to the government sometime later this year. We know that this is a year of significance in which Barbadians are being invited to come back home. We want to take advantage of that and to give Barbadians who are returning home an opportunity to influence a system of government in their country, because they themselves come from countries in which local government is well established, and we want to give them an opportunity to give us ideas so that when
is
we go
there
back to
any
government.
Consideration of going to the 31st constituency like New York?
No, we don't want to run up our costs. Technology being what it is, we can hear from New York right now, as a matter of fact. We don't have to go there.
All right, let's go to the air. We have like 4 or 5 calls. You're on the air. Good morning, Rasak Sunday.
Morning.
Good morning, sir. Morning.
How are you?
I am well, and the panel are well as well.
Yeah, because I can hear you talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I want to ask some questions here, and I don't think it's no better time than it can. You have the Attorney General there on that program.
No. We have a man who's highly qualified to be an attorney general, but we don't have the attorney general here.
Yes, but you have lawyers there, ain't
it? Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I can ask. First, let me say Happy New Year to all there.
Thank you. To you as well.
Let me ask a question, and then I will put something to you all. Especially, how much lawyers do you have there?
Only one.
Good. I don't want a lot of pretty talk and a big words that I can't understand, right? Don't laugh. Listen to me. Do anyone there on that panel can tell me what the meaning of the word hypocrite?
Well, somebody who says one thing and does another.
Yeah, but sir, let's if you can get on to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me take another call. I think he's dropped out. You're on the air. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Glenn.
Good morning, Sankar. Good morning.
Good morning.
To your panel.
Good morning.
Good morning to Ralph and all the other members of the panel.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ralph.
Yes.
I know that you are a man of precise language, and the program seeks to project the view that you're establishing local government. I think the more precise way, from my experience, would be you're seeking to re-establish local government.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Right? The public should know, those who never heard that, they're already versions of local government in Barbados, the vestry system.
Yes, correct.
And then there was the district council system.
That's right.
The vestry system failed not because of the inherent nature that it collapsed. People were not happy with it. People said that they did not want it anymore because it was not serving its purpose, or it was corrupt, or whatever, or it was inefficient, or whatever. It failed because of a political decision. Remember, Mayor Ernest Desimone was a long-standing master of the Bridgetown City Council and the city area.
Mm-hmm.
And the then Prime Minister, the Premier and then Prime Minister Barrow, said that Mayor Martley would have been a member of the People Nationalist Party, I think it was there, or the Barbados National Party, and then it became known as the Martley team. But Mr. Barrow decided that if you can't get Martley out of the city, because the LP candidates were being run against Mr. Martley and losing, then we would have to get the city out of Mr. Martley. And that is what led to the demise of local governments, and largely from my others might know more details, but that's what we remember in those days, what brought it about. And then that was replaced by a Northern District Council, the Southern District Council, mm-hmm. Then it was the City of Bridgetown, a council with a mayor, et cetera, et cetera. And the important thing was that these people, the membership of this country, were elected directly by the people.
Yes.
Sure. Like, for example, Sir Bernard St. John was a stalwart of the Southern District Council. And yes. He was an excellent, and he learned good representation through the Southern District Council, I explained.
Correct.
Additionally, these institutions and their work, good work, they did work with health, education, the roads, maintain the roads, clean the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And the looking after the needy, the hospitals, etc., the district hospital, etc. And they were financed by the people of Barbados through bicycle license tax, donkey cart license tax, property tax, all of the taxes. My area of the how would you propose has emerged as how you would finance these activities that would come by the local government or the people to stem the warfare reform, because they would need financing. They would need an infrastructure. They will need a bureaucracy. You might not like the word bureaucracy. They're going to need people to make it happen, to make it run and water. Is this going to be another layer of taxation for the public, or would it be that some of the present taxes be diverted to them?
Definitely, we are asking government, or we are proposing that central government should finance this scheme.
But don't forget, we're living in an era now where the public is being asked to pay more and more. Like, for example, the increase in the for that notice of a parcel at the post office has gone from $150 to $10 on the species that people will be asked to pay more for these kind of services. So in this era, I do not see how you're going to expect government, which is already short-lived, unless there's going to be a boom. You are projecting, expecting a major boom in the economy where something might be able to pay for these things.
Well, right? At the same time, we don't want to impose taxation on the people of Barbados at another level, at the local level. First of all, if you do that, the system is itself incurring costs, because as you are aware, if you want to implement a system of taxation, you have to have an infrastructure. You have to have people working in that system, and you don't want that. I think it is cheaper. I think it is more efficient for government to fund the scheme. And let us look at it in practical terms. To fund a scheme in which a secretariat is established in each assembly area, in each of the 20 assembly areas.
So there'll be 20 areas of cost?
Yes, precisely. Right. Coming out hopefully of the consolidated fund. As opposed to giving each assembly the right and the authority to go around taxing people. We don't want that. That is too burdensome.
But whether it comes from central, whether it comes from me and goes to the central government, then goes back to these assembly, I really don't see any significant difference. You're still paying the taxes anyhow.
Yes, but cost efficiencies would be a consideration here.
Ralph, is that we also need to look at the potential savings that could come from a successful implementation of people's assemblies.
Yes.
There's a school of thought that says that local assemblies may be in a better position to do some of the things that central government are currently trying to do, and that there might be efficiencies or economies springing from that. I mean, one of the whole reasons why we're proposing the assemblies is that there's very often a disconnect between the kind of prioritization that central government does versus what a local assembly might do, with the best of intention. I mean, an example might be central government pursuing job creation and bringing in foreign exchange, where you poll people in a district and what they really want is, you know, continuous sidewalks or unbridled beach access, things that by and large are not that expensive.
Okay.
So we might imagine a scenario where post rollout of people's assemblies, their actual savings, net savings to government.
Yeah, to continue their outline. During the meetings that we've had, there have been a few people in the construction industry who have come forward and said that they would donate some material, marble, whatever, in that particular area. These are people who live in the communities themselves. So if we can have more of this here as we go forward, the cost of central government should not be that great. If we get more cooperation from the private sector and companies from the communities themselves. For example, we had it down in West Harris, where somebody from the construction agency highlighted bad roads, potholes, and he came forward after the meeting and said that he is willing to put his company's business behind the people's assembly in that particular community.
We hope this is not going to be your only submission.
In fact, you'd
be happy to hear that we are in St. George on Wednesday, and I think this is somewhere close to where you are.
But I just want to deal with some of the basics before
But we welcome a submission from you. We welcome a submission from you.
But just let me say that I heard all the current buzzwords. You know, I heard a lot of buzzwords being used in the presentation.
Yes.
With all due respect to the last speaker, a lot of including Aki, Mr. Donovan, of a lot of the buzzwords, the current phrases that sound very nice, but when you strip them away from that, what do they mean to me? More efficiency. The statutory boards were supposed to do more efficiently what central government does. Don't forget that is the reason why the statutory boards came into being, to do more efficiently what central government wasn't unable to do. And we already pay for that.
Sorry, Barney.
I still think, and I am urging you, Mr. Murray, to make a submission to us in writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
your views are as important as the other view.
I understand. Thanks.
All right, Glenn.
For those that want to make a written submission, For those that want to make a written submission, you can send them to thorncommission@barbados.gov.bb. We also have a Facebook page so that you can take a look at the summary proposal, and you can make sure that you submit all of your requests so that there is no misunderstandings, no he say, she say. You can have them submitted, and there is a subcommittee that will be reviewing all proposals.
And remind him that nothing is written in stone.
Nothing is written in stone. Mm-hmm. This is why we're having all of these discussions.
Including this one this morning.
Exactly, because we have been hearing, what's most interesting is that some of the more detailed proposals as to how the People's Assembly should be structured have been coming from some of the younger persons who've been doing a lot of research into countries overseas that have successfully established local governance. And the proposals have been quite interesting, quite intriguing. And we really want to thank those who have taken the time out to do that kind of research and to make their proposals in writing, because then it better establishes a basis for what we would say we will take and remove and switch around. So again, I reiterate, thorncommission@barbados.gov.bb. If you'd like to make your written submissions heard, and I encourage the background research. That was extremely helpful. We've had some from Khalil Kofduwala and Devron Bruce and
Bobby Clark.
We've also had from one other person, editor.
Eric Smith. Yes.
So Chris, we're looking forward to have one out from the Honorable Glenn Clark. If Glenn can't make it on the meeting on Wednesday, the 29th, Glenn Murray. I got my Glenn's mixed up.
And to give the public the assurance that even among ourselves, we have not agreed on the final model.
No. Right.
We're having discussions among ourselves, so we're quite willing to have discussions with the public.
Let's take another call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning to the committee.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've been listening to your talk. I think it's a wonderful idea because there are a lot of young people who have no jobs and no work. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything that anybody can do to get them something so they can be independent, mm-hmm. it's a wonderful thing. The second thing is there are a lot of elderly people in Barbados.
That's correct.
And a lot of us live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you see, yes, you can go to your representative, but a lot of us can't even leave home to go to our representative. It has to be by the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had somebody representing Worthing and Amity Lodge and Rendezvous.
I like those areas.
Yeah, you would get to know the person, as there are people living here right now who reach out to a lot of elderly people and are very helpful to them. I live in a neighborhood where my neighbors were exceedingly kind to me because I was very ill and none of my family live in Barbados. Mm-hmm. So that is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The old time ways of Barbados when I first came here, where everybody brought a breadfruit and shared
That's right.
A sweet potato and bananas and all. That is what everyone of my generation says they wish Barbados could be so. But we can't go backwards. We have to go forward, and we just have to keep going and keep going. But this is a wonderful idea because I even heard of there being district nurses, and that would be a most wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are nurses. We are past 10, but I'm sure I do I do some voluntary work, and I go and visit people, and I look at, you know, they ask me, look at my tablet, tell me what it's about, because I can't see. But I can't say that I would become a district nurse, because I'm far too old now to be traipsing about. But there are a lot of people who don't have to be qualified or trained, who would go and visit elderly people who are alone. Look at the lady who got burned because she was using kerosene oil. Obviously, she couldn't afford the electric bill. So these are little things that a committee, not a, you see, the big parliament is parliament, but little individual groups in various areas can do a lot to help elderly, especially the sick, and, you know, and then get our young people, to repair the road, the bush. We have so many chickens and hens around here. They could catch them. I don't know about how they... I know I would eat one if someone caught it, killed it for me, but I am not about to catch and kill it.
Sanka, I'm so grateful for that call. The caller has really highlighted a major problem in Barbados, the problem of our two most vulnerable groups, the very old and the very young. And they lack social protection.
Before we develop that, just let's take a break, and just need to remind everyone that this program is being brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries, Inc.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Stacks Sunday. We're here looking, examining the Thorne Commission on Local Governance. And the chairman, Mr. Ralph Thorne, you were making a point about the elderly, the vulnerable in these communities.
Yes, I'm so relieved to hear an older person identify the problem of vulnerability of the very old and the very young. And I want to respond to her and to say that presently the state is limited in its social protection of these groups. She talked about young people not having access to employment. She talked about older people not having access to protection, basic protection. And we know that the Child Care Board exists, we know that the Welfare Department exists, we know that the National Assistance Board exists. And that is why our proposal is to have persons from those agencies sit on the People's Assemblies, ex officio, that they would be nominated by their heads of department to sit on these assemblies so that they can marry their efforts with the people in the local community, and that they would know who are the vulnerable people, who are the people at risk, who are the people who need help. So I'm very grateful for that call.
Okay, and I have a WhatsApp here that I'd like your response, because it's a nice follow-up to what we just discussed. This person said, there's no need for more constructs. Every community has a peripheral of churches, a number of NGOs, and youth groups all over the place, and every constituency has a representative. All that is needed is a central place within government where issues can be channeled and dealt with. This is just another avenue for government to reward their yard fowls. Same old, and intelligent people are sick of it.
That's the end of it?
Yes.
First of all, we would have said earlier that the People's Assembly will be, the membership will be drawn from people in the community who will be elected, not selected by the government. They will be elected by the people in the community. So it is not a question of patronage and that kind of thing.
With regards to the persons that will be elected as well, you would have heard Barney mention the CVs aspect.
Correct.
And this is not to be considered in the traditional form of a CV where you list all of your qualifications and to show that you are this highly intellectual person. The CVs are more focused at showing how you have contributed to your community. And this is what the presentation should be focused on. If after hearing a presentation and the person has not given any indication as to how they've had a history of helping their community, of being a volunteer, of the social groups that they've been a part of that can make a difference for your community, because you know what your community needs. And if you select someone that is popular or has high intellect but little evidence of a community spirit, then you get what you voted for. And the reality is, this is more in the hands of the people than it is in the hands of government.
Correct.
If it was in the hands of government, it would just be persons being picked and selected to sit on all of these assemblies, and there would be no say by the persons in the communities as to who they want in charge. If you pick persons who are partisan, who only have that objective, then that is what you get. If I have actually had a number of persons, because most of us talking amongst one another, not with Ralph or David, we did have a lot of reservations with the partisan aspect because we don't want the whole B&D politics to override it. We know it is going to happen, but we're trying to figure out how we can prevent that. And it has been encouraging, at least on my end, to have a number of persons approach me from all walks of life to say they want to be a part of it. They want to help. Let me know when it's going to be in our area. Let me know when it's going to start, because we're going to trust that this is going to be for real, and we're going to try to help minimize the party politics where possible. That is encouraging, because that is exactly what we need to be able to minimize or eliminate the party politics aspect that is expected to come.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. You're on the air. All right, let's take another one. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Price, to you and your panel.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions just to get some clarity as to what we're talking about and how we're proposing to proceed. One of the things while listening, I understood that you to say, well, your panel, members of your panel, that they've been established by government to look into this matter. Can you give me an indication as to what is the time frame that was set by the instrument that established this grouping for them to get back to government? And another question I would want to ask is, are these persons that are sitting on the commission or the committee, are they being paid? And
no.
How much are they
no,
paid?
No. This
the
is
commission
voluntary.
Is not being
and,
paid.
And can I answer the first question as well? We haven't been given a strict time limit to get back to government, but we want to get back to government this year. And as I've said, the priority is to hear from the people.
Okay. I hear you to say that you all have set a proposal already or have designed a proposal already?
We have a broad proposal, but we're asking the public, we're asking people like yourself to make an input and to say what your views are as to the structure.
Okay. Another question for you, deriving from your dialogue there. You did indicate, and I heard the young lady just now spoke about partisan issues.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, what is the construct of the commission? Is the commission a broad-based commission, or is it a commission of persons who have one partisan persuasion, whatever?
I am the only politician. I am the only politician on the commission. Membership of the commission is derived from people who had long service in the communities across Barbados.
Can you identify to me whether you have representatives on your commission from all the parties that have been identified in this country?
As I said before, I'm the only politician on the commission.
I said
the rest of us, as well, I could only speak for myself. I am not affiliated with any party. I have no desire to be affiliated with any party. I was surprised when they asked me to be a part of this, because some of my views are contrary to what is often put out there by the current administration, the past administration. So I can speak for myself. That is where I stand. My background is as an auditor, which is a profession that usually stands based on what is a fact as opposed to opinion, and that is the line we usually go down. I'm also a member of ICAB. The others can speak for themselves, but.
Well, I consider myself an environmentalist. I'm certainly nonpartisan.
Correct.
If I have a constituency, it's everybody that breathes air and drinks water, and I suppose turtles and birds and everybody, they don't vote. So.
All that sounds good. Sounds very great. And I will take it in the public light that you are indicating that you are not partisan in any way, or you're not attached to the party that would have established the commission. But what I want to find out from you is, why if on the when there's general election, we have 30 persons who present themselves to us and say to us, I am here, I'm offering myself to represent your interests, represent your needs, represent the needs of your constituency, its borders across parishes and everything. Why is it that we have now to revert to having to establish the body to get things done on the citizens or the residents of the parishes as you want to establish it behalf? Will the parliamentarians be reduced from the current number that we have in the House? Or if these persons are going to be doing all the community-based work, will the parliamentarian salary be reduced? Because quite obviously, you will have persons who are now carrying out the functions that the parliamentarians had come to us and commit that they were going to do, and as a result, now we have to get somebody else to do the job.
You know, Carla, you've identified it. Oh, I beg your pardon. You've identified an issue that arose at more than one of our town halls, and that is, what are we going to do about the relationship between the parliamentary representative and the People's Assembly? Some people believe that the parliamentarian should sit on the People's Assembly. Others feel that the parliamentarian ought not to. Most of us feel that there should be a relationship, though, because if you're talking about parliamentary government, that is representative government, and if you're talking about local government, there should be some kind of a harmonious relationship. So what you have done, you have brought into focus the relationship between the parliamentarian and his local assembly, and that is something on which we want to hear from the people of Barbados.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
The challenge I'm having is, though, is...
What is your proposal? What do you think the relationship ought to be? Do you think the parliamentarian should sit on the People's Assembly? Do you think he should be completely distant from the People's Assembly?
I think he should be, because in some instances there can be a contradiction.
Could we invite you to come to St. George on Wednesday? Because we'd really love to hear from you.
Let's say, for instance, that a parliamentarian is the minister for a particular area, mm-hmm. that their constituent, city, council, whatever it is,
People's Assembly.
Mm-hmm. What the assembly.
Yes.
How would that pan out? Suppose he's the minister in charge of that area.
Yes.
The other thing it brings to focus is, what would be the power of the grouping,
mm-hmm. in relation to him?
X, Y, Z is to be done, or it needs to be done. Would that have some overriding power?
Excellent point. And that is something that we are trying to work out, and we want to work that out in tandem with the people of Barbados. So I really hope and I wish that you do attend one of the People's Assemblies and make this point and make the proposal.
Mr. Thorne, I'm not sure I'm willing to entertain the talk shop.
I think
we are just going around again, putting another layer, uh-huh. on top of what all exists. We have, as the earlier caller, a gentleman, I think you identify him as Mr. Murray, Glenn Murray. He identified that there were several groupings that were established so as to advance the needs of the people. We have civic groups in the country, and somebody also identified the churches. Where are we involving these people?
All of those to be involved,
sir. I submit.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Just to follow up, we just have this WhatsApp. Because one system is ineffective does not mean another should be created to rectify the issues that exist first. I think what the person is saying is that you really just can't bring another layer, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. just slap it on there if what we have is not properly working. And some of the issues that the caller would have raised, some of the questions I asked earlier, because the real question I think most people are asking is how this thing can work. If we have 30 representatives and you have a bureaucracy called the public service, then you're going to have 20 assemblies.
Yes.
And within these 20 assemblies, you're going to have a small secretariat. Now, based on, and I'm just trying to put together in front of me here, looking at a chart of responsibilities. Now, are we going to be in a situation? Let's take Christchurch. There are going to be three in Christchurch.
Three in Christchurch.
So, in one section of Christchurch, Dover, Amity Lodge, those areas that are close, you have this constituency council.
People's Assembly.
People's Assembly, might forgive me.
No, that makes it out.
These people's Assembly. And you have like 30 people? That's the proposal so far?
Yes.
30 people.
That's a mere proposal.
A mere proposal.
Yes.
Mere proposal? We'll work with the proposal.
Yes.
Propose 30 people on this Assembly. And they're concerned with what's happening within that geographic area.
Correct.
Of that People's Assembly. Now, let's say you have a depot, one or two depots. I don't know how many depots there are in Christchurch. This is MTW depots.
Yes, there's one by the lighthouse which needs moving, but that's another issue.
Right. I don't know how many, I don't think there are any Sanitation Service Authority depots.
No, there are two MTW depots. There's one by Sears Court and there's one by the lighthouse.
Okay, good. Now, you have problems, let's say, in Dover. I'm just bringing Dover because that's the front page of the Sunday Sun today. So you have Dover, for example. There are problems with roads need patching and this and whatnot. Of course, roads need patching all over. So how? And of course, this is just, we're just talking.
Yes.
Because nothing is written in stone here. Mm-hmm. But how would the people's assemblies, how would they interact? How do you think they would interact with the MTW depot to get things done more efficiently there? Would it be a situation where the ministry would have sent to the depot and said, okay, well, look, you have these three people's assemblies within Christchurch.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are 50 roads in this geographic area of Christchurch to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only have material for X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So maybe these people's assemblies, they can prioritize which roads are most urgent.
Precisely.
And then with the material that we have, we can...
Based
on local knowledge,
yes,
we can get this X amount of work done.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that local knowledge, we know the things for drainage that need to be fixed and to be continually worked on.
Yes.
Because if you cut the bush along certain drains this month, you just can't leave it for the next 12 months.
Precisely.
It should be done in another 2 months, grass is going to grow back.
Precisely.
And you're going to block the drain.
Correct.
So is that type of thing that we're thinking of? Is that what you're suggesting?
Let's look at it practically. A People's Assembly meets a Wednesday in some month. It is established and it meets. And everyone who lives in that area is entitled to come to a People's Assembly and reflect the concerns and the problems within that area.
Mm-hmm.
The members of the People's Assembly then go away, deliberate, and make a requisition to the particular to the relevant government department. And I don't see a difficulty in that, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. But so
remember too that we're proposing to have certain seats reserved for members of statutory corporations and
government agencies.
And government agencies. Yes. So you have it should in principle improve the line of communication there as well.
Correct.
So we're talking really making the statutory corporations even more efficient.
Precisely.
Because the problem with the statutory corporations is that they're considered to be inefficient and they waste. Well, that's
they're sometimes absent.
Yeah.
They're sometimes absent from the community, and
exactly.
That's speaking honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And a People's Assembly gives them the opportunity to be present in a very formal and meaningful way,
mm-hmm.
to sit on the assembly, to have direct contact with the people in the community who are affected by the deficiencies.
Mm-hmm. And so I can remember too that these days a lot of infrastructural development occurs on using the instrument of a PPP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Private public partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, there's a P missing from there.
People.
Right? People.
Precisely.
So what we really want are four Ps, and we're hoping that People's Assemblies can bring that. So it'll be a PPPP.
Correct.
And it is hoped that in that way, citizen engagement would be improved. And I honestly can't see how more citizen engagement can be a bad thing.
I think people underestimate as well the value of hearing from the people itself. Many times, because you have the current structure, it's a top-down approach where you have an overall strategy, but a minister is not always able to touch every single person in that community. And everybody, anyone that has been involved in volunteer work knows the difficulties in terms of being able to touch every person in the community and to hear their concerns and to hear what their priorities are. So we say everybody in Barbados wants their potholes to be fixed. And I'm not saying that may not be true, but there may be communities that have greater concerns than potholes and other priorities. And we can't just apply a blanket, everybody in Barbados is upset about potholes, and say that that's what we're going to do. The community may even say this particular area is what needs the priority. Many persons might see potholes being fixed and say, but wait, why are they fixing this road instead of that one that has a greater need? So not having those conversations and making these assumptions, and then people seem ungrateful because the solutions that have been offered are not offered with a bad mind, but with the assumption that this is what the community needs and this is what the priority is. Without having that conversation or hearing from the people what they think the priorities are, where they think their greatest needs lie, they might think that a community center is their greatest need. They may think that helping the youth is their greatest need. Not every single community has the same concern, but we have gone along so long ignoring what people really want that we're saying, this is just another layer, this is just this, and this is just that. It could very well be, but that would only happen if the people who are on the assemblies treat it that way. But if we get genuine persons who are coming out to hear what the concerns of the people, and we're also hoping to incorporate a internet function where persons are able to bring their views, not just by coming to a physical town hall, but being able to make online submissions. We are working on that. Unfortunately, we would need some help where that is concerned as well too. So we do welcome volunteers who will be able to assist with us getting those kind of things going. We've had a number of persons who've come forward already to help us to get going. But this, again, I emphasize, we can't always assume that we know what people want. And that dialogue, that community spirit that the lady mentioned before, mm-hmm. that unfortunately sometimes it has to be legislated. And there are a lot of community groups that have been trying to help. There are a lot of individuals that have been trying to help. If you hear them talk, they say the level of bureaucracy to just be able to help is sometimes is really discouraging. So having this place where persons can know, if we come here or if we make our submissions, then the key things that we think are important for our community will be heard and will be actioned. That will help to bring back that community spirit that people feel have been lacking in Barbados. It's not just the older generation that thinks it's lacking. There are a lot of young persons that feel as though they've fallen through the cracks. And a minister alone, with his, because his focus really and truly should be on setting a strategy and not always having to be able to get into the nitty-gritty of every single person within his area. And we still don't want them to be falling through the cracks. If there's a minister that is not performing, my personal opinion is that he should not be a minister. That is my opinion. And if these people's assemblies can take away some of that minutiae, where he can then focus on a strategy that will help Barbados to move forward as a country, as opposed to being taken away, because we see that in a management structure all the time. Persons who are at the top that should be focusing on the strategy for an organization that are taken away from focusing on that strategy because they're trying to make sure a pipe that bursts in the bathroom is fixed, or making sure that this thing happens or that thing happens. There's nobody there to take over in terms of developing the strategy for that company. But you have to make sure that there are persons there at the bottom who are making sure these things don't fall through the cracks. Because if a pipe bursts in a company, your employees are not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. But at the same time, if you're not developing a strategy for the country, if you're not focusing on those things, then we will not move forward as a country. And if there's any minister that is not doing that, that's unhappy with having these small things taken away from them, so that more focus be placed on the needs of the people, and his focus or her focus is then placed more on developing strategies for Barbados, then we have a bigger problem.
I want to bring it home to you, Tango. You put it in Christchurch, or let's say in Christchurch. We had an issue recently with Graham Hawthorne. And I'm telling you, you know, the public of Barbados, the issue down there was solved with the help of the fishermen in St. Lawrence. Mm-hmm. We brought in technocrats, highly qualified. We brought people from overseas. And they came in, did work. It failed. They did more work and it failed. Nobody consulted the fishermen in St. Lawrence. Many fishermen in St. Lawrence identified the opening of the Slough Gate between 12 midnight and 6 in the morning. Technocrats from overseas didn't know. The local ones that were here, they have a clue. The low water table, the high tide and lower tide that affected the swamp, the knowledge of the people in the community, mm-hmm. in the St. Lawrence area, mm-hmm. all fishermen between 70 and 80, 90 years old. Unfortunately, some of them are dead now. When they made the input, quite recently, we have heard the issues the more of the St. Lawrence swamp. Mm-hmm. The St. Lawrence swamp was back to normal because they consulted eventually the people within the community. Mm-hmm. So this is where we need the help of the people in the community to come out and let us know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking about this local knowledge, which is something that happens very often because you hear that some roads are being constructed mm-hmm. and some people in the community say, but it's one thing to build this road here, but you know, when rain falls in a certain
correct.
Way,
oh, right.
and drainage.
You get, so that road can get mashed up.
That's right.
Don't build that road there. You know, I've been to areas where people say, but that had to happen because mm-hmm. I remember X person told these people, and they won't listen to us because they think that we don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And look what happened now.
How many times have we heard that?
We've heard that.
How many times have we heard that? And then when you do try to actually listen to the people and make sure that their concerns are heard, you're told, mm-hmm. oh, that's not necessary. Because yes. there are going to be persons who are benefiting from the structure as it is. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of vulnerable groups that are not being heard, and they need to be. Both old, young, rich, poor, everyone in between. This is about community. This is about Barbados.
Right. Because there's no mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, and usually when people do raise their voices, it's too little, too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what we're trying. You know, what we're trying to address.
All right. Let's take some calls here because we got a lot of calls here backing up.